Centrally Speaking is the Central Schwenkfelder Church's podcast. It speaks about issues that would be of interest to our society. In particular, it addresses how a Christian worldview intersects with Western secular culture. In the spirit of the church's founder, we take the perspective of the middle way, which is in agreement with the historic Christian church.
I'm Dr. Drake Williams, Minister of Mission and Theology at the Church. Our website is www.cscfamily.org. Today we are going to speak about when Jesus died on the cross, what really happened. We are coming up to Easter time. Many of our listeners will know that the cross is connected with Easter. However, many might know what actually took place. Today I'm joined by Dr. David McKinley, who is the senior minister here at the church. David, it's good to have you with us.
Hi, Dre. Great to be here.
David, you know that people will associate the cross with Christianity, but the cross was originally used by the Romans. Can you tell us about the origins of crucifixion?
Sure. Crucifixion in the ancient world was something that was used for execution, of course. It was started, actually, by the Persians, and the Romans retrieved it from them. They refined the process and made it the way to put to death someone in the most painful, agonizing way. Also to make an example of those subjects that were given crucifixion. So it was an awful way to die.
So it seemed like an odd symbol to associate with a religion, like associating it with the gallows or with an electric chair.
True. And I should state that it wasn't probably until after Constantine, when crucifixion was outlawed, that it became a symbol for Christianity. Of course, the early symbols for Christianity were the fish, maybe some others, but the cross didn't become a symbol of Christianity till much later, say 500 years after the time of Christ.
What happened when a person was put on a cross to be crucified? Can you tell us what took place when people were sentenced to die like that?
Well, usually a person underwent some type of punishment before crucifixion. And in the case of the Romans, oftentimes a person was flogged before they were put on the cross. And some did not survive the flogging, of course. That was a gruesome treatment of an individual. Maybe some of our listeners have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's film. But having said that, crucifixion was an awful way to die, as I stated before. Nails were placed in the wrist, not in the palm of the hand, but rather in the wrist, up above the wrist, the joint there, so that a person would hang by the joints of the wrists, and then also a nail would pierce the ankle bone, pinning a person to the cross, and over many hours, and sometimes days, a person would hang there on the cross, and the body would sag to such the extent that the person would die of asphyxiation. They would suffocate to death. And so it was a long, drawn-out, agonizing death that was the most painful way to die.
How long do you estimate some of those nails were that they used on the cross?
Well, that's interesting. I would imagine that they would have to be at least 9 inches long, a little bit more than a railroad spike, and slender enough that they would go through the wrist without ripping the wrist. But I would imagine 9-10 inches long.
And you mentioned that people would sometimes take a day, 2 days, by which they would be on the cross and die. And I guess there would be passersby, those that would see what was happening. Was there a stigma to being crucified in the ancient world?
Most definitely. Those who were crucified were the worst of the worst, and those who had committed all sorts of crimes, such as treason or murder. In fact, if you are a Roman citizen, you could not be crucified. You could be put to death in other ways, but crucifixion was the Romans' way of making an example out of someone. And so, and the person was put on display in public in Jerusalem, where there are two sites, actually, that are thought. This is a somewhat of a controversial issue, but the place of the crucifixion is somewhat debated. There's two spots that it could have taken place. But nevertheless, it was a very public place. Person was made as a spectacle, and yes, there would be people that would pass by, hurl insults, and it would be just an awful scene.
Movies like Spartacus, where there was also public crucifixion, many people on the cross. You mentioned The Passion by Mel Gibson. We've both seen that film. Might you have any comments about The Passion and the means by which it displayed crucifixion?
Well, interesting. The Pope at the time said, it is as it was. And so you have the endorsement of the Catholic Church saying that, that crucifixion being depicted in that movie was accurate. Also, if you were to get a copy of Charles Colson's Loving God that was published in 1983, it's a very graphic, one of the chapters is devoted to Christ's crucifixion. It's a very graphic explanation of what crucifixion was like. And all these have their place in Christian education because it really gives us a deeper appreciation for what Jesus Christ went through on behalf of his followers.
Yeah, well, that gets us to the question of why Jesus died. I mean, he was talking about this through the Gospels from many chapters prior to the crucifixion. It's sort of an odd thing for a leader of a religion to think about their death and think about crucifixion before they're actually crucified. Why, in your opinion, did Jesus have to be crucified?
It's a great question, Drake. In the Old Testament, this was prophesied of. Of course, Paul makes a lot of the verse, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, and he applies that to Jesus receiving the curse on behalf of his followers, the curse of God. Also, Jesus said that it was part of God's plan, that it was the fulfillment of righteousness, that he predicted many times that he would go to Jerusalem, be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, and be killed, and would rise again on the third day. Jesus described his own death as God's gift, or God doing something in that act. 1 John chapter 4 tells us, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as a propitiation for our sins. And so it was on that cross that Jesus satisfied God's requirement for sin. And so that's why Christians call that Friday before Easter Good Friday, because it's upon that cross on Good Friday that Jesus gave his life so that we could be forgiven of the offenses that we've done against God.
It's sort of an ironic title for a holiday, Good Friday, isn't it?
It is.
About crucifixion.
It is. It's good from our perspective.
His death on the cross was shorter than others. Why was that the case?
The Jewish holiday of the Passover was soon approaching, and Jesus had celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And it was against Jewish custom to for people to hang on the cross or for there to be any public display of death during the Passover. And so the Romans had to speed up the process for those who were being put to death that day. And so, as was their custom, instead of the body just hanging there for days so that the birds could pick at it, or in other cases, it's been reported that wild dogs could dispose of the bodies on crosses. The Romans felt it was necessary to speed things up on that day, and so their usual pattern was to break the legs of those who were being crucified, and they did in the respect of the two thieves that were hung on either side of Jesus. But for reasons that God had, they took a spear, and as the Gospels record, they thrust it into Jesus' side, and so it pierced his heart, and that sped up his death, of course. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus requested that Jesus' body be taken down from the cross so that they could give it a proper burial. And so this is the reason that Jesus' death did not last as long as maybe others, 6 hours from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then he was taken down from the cross and put in Joseph's tomb.
This must have been quite a scene that happened many, many years ago with Jesus dying. And of course, remembered and commemorated by the church worldwide ever since. In the church where you are serving, with this church where you serve as a senior pastor, you are well aware that we have a steeple with a cross on the top of it. The foundation of the building is in the shape of a cross. Our Garden of Memories behind the church has a cross in it. Why is the cross so important to this church, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good question, Drake. I think that the cross is central to Christianity, and I think it was central to Caspar Schwenkfeld's theology. We are called oftentimes the confessors of the glory of Christ. And so the person of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his sinless life, I think the cross reminds us that it's only through the cross that we can have a relationship with a holy and a righteous God. And Jesus came and died on that cross so that we could know God in a very personal way. And so it is central to everything that we are and everything that we do.
Some of our listeners might not be aware, but Caspar Schwenkfeld even reflected on the death of Jesus, writing out many, many prayers about that actual event itself. Is there anything that you'd like to say to our listeners about the significance of Christ for them and his crucifixion as we come to Easter time?
Well, I would just say that this is the most important time of the year for followers of Jesus, and it's not something closed or something private, but the good news of the gospel is for the whole world, and the message that Jesus had, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason for that message is the cross of Christ. And so I would just encourage our listeners that if you've never made a commitment to Christ, never realized your need for forgiveness, and never experienced the sense that you can be forgiven and restored to a right relationship with God, there's nothing more important that you can pursue in your life. Of course, we all have various interests, and we're pulled in different directions through job, through family, through special interests. But this one area of life is the most important area, because it not only applies to here in this life, but also is relevant for eternity. And so Easter and Good Friday and the Passover, it all is very significant to Christians everywhere.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing about that. And thank you to our listeners to listening to Centrally Speaking, a ministry from the Central Schwenkfelder Church in Worcester, Pennsylvania.